You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
Time is flying this year, isn't it? We're already at our second last week of this series called A Discipleship Culture, where we have been exploring the lifestyle of discipleship, or what I call being the gospel. I wonder if anyone has a story to tell yet. Has anyone asked someone to read the Bible with you? Can't see any hands raised, all right. Well, we'd love to hear some stories in the coming week. So this is a journey. It doesn't happen overnight. So we'd love to hear from you when you've asked someone to read the Bible and how that's going. We would like to get you to share with the church, and we can do that in a number of ways. So to refresh your memories, we've been looking at the ways, the works, and the words of Jesus, who has put the mission of God into the hands of you and me. This mission is simple, it's teachable, it's repeatable. We all have a part to play, and we have all been called to do it, as we heard from Trish. We've said that this lifestyle is characterised by prayerfully looking for people of peace. And those are people who like you, who listen to you, and who will serve you. It's a lifestyle of building relationships, giving the invitation to come and see, like Jesus invited the disciples to do and spend the day with him and to get to know him. And it's a lifestyle of asking people to read the Bible with us, to do it afraid, not wait until we're not afraid or we'll never do it. Remembering that we are taking a person of peace on a journey of discovery. So it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. This is also not something that we can make happen. And it's not something we do in our own strength. So that takes the pressure off a little bit, doesn't it? We're constantly asking the Holy Spirit, what are you saying and what should I do? And we are partnering with the Holy Spirit as those people of peace are put in our path. You see, this lifestyle is one of communion with Jesus and daily being filled with the Holy Spirit. We live our everyday life looking with spiritual eyes and listening with spiritual ears for where God is already working. And then we join with him in that work. As we join in God's work, we see and experience those kairos moments. And remember, we talked about those a couple of weeks ago. These are God moments, the ones that only God could have orchestrated because they were just at the right time or just at the right moment or a light bulb moment maybe or however else you would put into words that inexplainable, perfect timing. You know the ones, those coincidences that aren't really coincidences. You see, it's God who is already working in our people of peace. It is through the Holy Spirit that we are led to those people he is already working in. And it is with his strength and through his love that we can build relationships and ask someone to read the Bible with us. Even though we may be doing it afraid, if it's Christ's love that compels us to share the love and truth with others, we can do it. And we heard so powerfully about that kind of lavish love that Jesus has for us last week, didn't we? This morning, as we again consider the ways, the works, and the words of Jesus, there is one thing that we have mentioned many times over the last few weeks. It was something that was a part of Jesus' life and his lifestyle. He spoke about it, he encouraged and taught his disciples to do it, and it is something that we need to do as well. In fact, it is not an option if we are to live healthy spiritual lives, and of course, I'm talking about prayer. Nowhere in the scriptures do we see it say, if we pray. In fact, in Matthew 6, it says three times, when you pray. That's not a choice. It's when we do it, not if. Communion with Jesus through prayer is our lifeblood. It's a way of life. It involves time with God, walking with God, hearing from God. Communion with Jesus through prayer is our lifeblood. Did you hear that? I can't say that enough. We see after Jesus has ascended into heaven in Acts 2, the day after the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit had fallen like tongues of fire, that it says in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. Later in Colossians 4, Paul encourages the Colossian church. And what does he say? Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Listen to that verse 2 from the Amplified Bible. It says, be persistent and devoted to prayer, being alert and focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving. This doesn't give me the impression that it's just a quick prayer each morning or night and then go about our every day, as though prayer and living are two mutually exclusive things. Paul says it again in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray continually, or in some translations it says, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray continually. What does continually mean? It means continually. It means regularly, frequently, constantly, without interruption. Continually. This is a lifestyle of spending time with God, walking with God, hearing from God. Not necessarily in the physical sense of continually staying on in one place on our knees praying, or we would be a monk. But continually having that posture of communing with God, hearing his voice, praying in your mind and heart as you go about your everyday living, and hearing God speak and open your eyes to where he's working. I wonder, how is our prayer lifestyle? And I'm speaking to myself here as well. How is our prayer lifestyle? So easily do we pray for something or someone for a few minutes, maybe a few days, or at a pinch, it gets out to a few weeks, and then we give up. Or we forget. We might ask the Lord for a few days to speak to us, and then we get distracted and go off and do our own thing. Or we get impatient and want to do it ourselves. However, Colossians is telling us to be persistent and devoted, to be alert and focused in our prayer life. God's timing is amazing. And on Tuesday morning in my devotion was this story. George Mueller, the great 19th century pastor who cared for 10,000 orphans and started 117 schools, was certainly a man who learned how to persevere night and day in prayer. Of 50,000 answers to prayer catalogued in his lifetime, just 5,000 came instantly on the day he asked for them. In other words, 45,000 of George Mueller's miracles, 90% of his requests, required significant perseverance in prayer. This ratio sounds about right to me, says the writer. One man for whom Mueller consistently prayed waited 63 years to surrender his life to Christ. How many of us are praying for someone to become a Christian? How many of us are praying for a breakthrough in a situation? Mueller consistently waited 63 years for one of his prayers to be answered. Don't let yesterday's seemingly unanswered prayers, said Mueller, stop you from praying in faith today. Hold on Keep praying. Trust Jesus. What an incredible story of a lifetime and lifestyle of persistent prayer. Oh Lord, help me to be devoted to prayer and continually praying as Paul encourages us to be. Of course, we know we can't do it in our own strength, can we? We need the Lord's help. We sang that this morning. Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. I just have to think of the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. Even Jesus' disciples struggled to stay awake and pray, didn't they? I mean, if I were with Jesus, just because Jesus was Jesus, I would even try and fake staying awake praying because it was Jesus, but they fell asleep. And what did Jesus say to them? Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? But then, he says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are fighting a daily battle against the flesh, against our fleshly desire, against spiritual laziness and complacency, against being comfortable in our Western rich, idolatrous lifestyles. A daily battle. Paul spoke to the church in Ephesus about this and reminded them to put on the armour of God so that we can come against the devil's schemes and temptations. And straight after this passage, he again echoes what he said to the Colossian church and the Christians in Thessalonica. He says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Always keep on praying for each one of us, for each other, so that we can share the gospel. Pray on all occasions. Always keep on praying. Getting the picture, right? Prayer is not only central to our Christian life, but it has to be our lifestyle. It's not just for when we come together either on a Sunday or during the week, but it's for every minute of every day until we are face to face with Jesus. I want to turn our attention to a story we know so well. In fact, every time we enter this building, we are reminded of it. Have you seen that recently? So Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. We know that Jesus was referring to the temple in Jerusalem when he said these words. And historically, we know that the temple was destroyed by Titus in 70 AD. The New Testament, however, speaks of us as the temple of the Holy Spirit and the household of God. And it struck me this morning when we were singing, there's joy in the house of the Lord, that we're actually declaring that there's joy in the house of the Lord. Even when we're going through the manure of life, we can say there's joy in the house of the Lord, and we can declare that. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with them. We are now the house of prayer, the community of believers. God's presence used to be found in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. However, now, as these verses tell us, his presence is with us when we are gathered. The place of prayer has now become a people of prayer. as the temple of the Holy Spirit, a house of prayer of weak flesh, it is time for me to examine my heart, to examine my living, my priorities, and see if there are any idols, any wicked way in me, anything in me that is making my house of prayer into a den of robbers, so to speak. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So I ask myself and I ask you today, am I devoted to the things of this world, like the money changers in the temple? Do I love my finances and possessions more than God? Or am I devoted to Jesus, to prayer, and to the lifestyle of a disciple? If we're being real, which is one of the values of this church, we would all have to say that this is a daily temptation, right? Because we're all sinners and we fall short of the glory of God. However, we can come to Jesus with confidence and ask forgiveness because we are made righteous. Praise the Lord for that. And as forgiven and righteous people who are living this life of discipleship, I encourage you, as Paul did, be devoted to praying continually for each other and for the Holy Spirit to use us to make disciples. In each step of this discipleship lifestyle, we are praying and watching for people of peace. We are praying for opportunities to build relationships with those who don't know Jesus. We are praying for the Lord to give us boldness to ask someone to read the Bible with us, even though we are afraid. We are praying for those kairos moments where the Holy Spirit will bring to light the Word of God. And we are praying that each person will be brought to a saving knowledge of Jesus through His amazing grace and mercy. We are continually praying. But don't be anxious about anything, Philippians 4 says. But, here it is again, in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. An interesting little side note here. Have you noticed that in each case these verses mention with thanksgiving or give thanks in all circumstances or with an attitude of thanksgiving? What a wonderful heart posture to have in this prayer lifestyle. One of thanksgiving to God. I pray that the Lord will continue to change us into houses of prayer and people of prayer, for His glory. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.